no matter how obvious they appear to many of us, for some, the computer is just too high-tech. It's incomprehensible. What if there was an appliance that gave you access to much of what we can access through our computers, but with a much more friendly interface, and designed specifically with the blind in mind? Well, that's what Mike Calvo of In-House Radio Networks is working on with his latest product, the Freedom Box. Okay, Mike, let's start from the beginning. What is a Freedom Box?
Okay. Freedom Box is a standalone internet appliance. I don't know if you've heard of these internet appliances that you can pick up that you can just take home and plug into the wall and have internet access and email and shopping. It's not a computer. It's just an internet appliance that hooks up and will dial up, and you can, and for sighted folks, it has a little screen on it. They can just touch different little parts of the screen, and it'll download email, or they can look, you know, for restaurants around town and that kind of thing.
And who is the Freedom Box actually targeted at?
We're targeting the Freedom Box at disabled users, disabled individuals. There are over 60 million potential users of the Freedom Box that are print disabled. That we feel 60 million of anybody is a great market, but I think that for years the disabled market has not been looked at as a consumer group, both by product and service providers and by themselves. We've never gotten together in one group and said, hey, we've got buying power. And I believe that we have tried to get folks to make products for us and adapt their products for us and this and that through advocacy, through regulations, through asking to, you know, have our needs met. But the bottom line is that in today's capitalist societies, money talks and the rest walks. So if we are able to get together as a consumer group, I believe that product and service providers will address us as such, and instead of accommodating for us, they will make their products cater to us.
One of the issues, though, Mike, I suppose, is that the majority of the market that you're talking about is in the older age bracket, and of course there are people who are in that bracket who are harnessing the technology and making the most of what it has to offer. But there's also quite a degree of technology shyness in that market as well. I suppose you're seeking to overcome that with the kind of interface that you're talking about.
Well, I believe that when we were developing the Freedom Box, we looked at the demographic of the users. Yes, a majority of the disabled community is elderly. So we had to find a common interface that everybody knows how to do. And I would venture to say that a majority of people know how to talk and use a telephone. And that's all you really need to do to use the Freedom Box, is you need to be able to talk or use a keypad. And if you can do one of those two things, then you can enjoy accessing the Internet.
So this Freedom Box interface is all speech-based, right? You use a microphone to talk to the computer. Is that how it works?
Actually, the Freedom Box consists of three parts. Okay, it consists of we'll call it the base CPU, if you will. Okay, and that's pretty much where the hard drive is. It looks a lot like a set-top box. Okay, a set-top cable box. That's where the CPU is, that's where the hard drive is, that's where all of the computerish type stuff is. Okay? Connected to that is the Freedom Box base unit. That base unit is very similar to a cordless telephone base unit, and that's where actually you drop the Freedom Box portable unit into to charge. The Freedom Box portable unit is the third part of it, and it looks a lot like a two-way radio that has a push-to-talk button on the side and a keypad in the front for physically challenged or physically disabled folks that would use puffer switches or big levers and that kind of thing, right beneath the push-to-talk button is actually a jack that they would plug in one of these switches, so they would be able to either puff or puff and sip or use a lever or whatever to activate the push-to-talk functions of the radio of the Freedom Box.
So the keypad, is that a telephone-type keypad, or is it a QWERTY keyboard?
No, it's actually a touch-tone-like keypad. It has, of course, the 12 touch-tone keys, the 1 through 9, the star, the 0, and the pound. And then on top, you've got two arrow-shaped buttons that are the volume controls. And between the volume controls, you've got a raised-up little area, which is the microphone. And then underneath the keypad, you have the speaker on the portable unit. The other thing that's really cool about the portable unit is it has a USB port on the portable unit. So you can actually hook up USB devices to the portable unit and in different parts of the house, and they will communicate back to the base unit wirelessly. But we're actually able to do wireless USB. So if, for example, you're using the Freedom Box, the scanning software that's in the unit, it's optional, by the way, and you have a couple of different scanners around the house. Scanners are nothing more than about $50, $60 nowadays. So you can, in theory, have a scanner in the office that you read your mail with, and another scanner in the kitchen that you would use, say, to read boxes of food and things of that nature with. And as you go around the house with your Freedom Box portable unit, you just connect the scanner right to the USB port and push the key on the portable unit that pertains to the scanning mode, or tell it to scan, and it would scan.
Okay, so it's not only an internet appliance, it actually can be used for internal household-type tasks, and there's quite a plethora of USB devices that I imagine you could connect to this thing then.
Yes, there are. We have many plans up our sleeve for the future of the Freedom Box. Our goal is to give the user complete freedom. One of the things that we're talking to one of our companies that we'll be partnering with is to provide our users with a handheld UPC scanner. So as you scan your food, it will go back onto the net and look up what it is in the database and perhaps give you recipes. It can add it to a shopping list. There's a whole bunch of things that you can do with a UPC code.
So this is almost another version, a blindness-specific or disability-specific version of the wired house that we've been hearing so much about in the last couple of years, where the coffee pot is talking to the refrigerator and that sort of thing. Presumably, if the Freedom Box knows that this is the last lot of tomato sauce that you've purchased, or ketchup, I think is the American term, then it will go and put that in a shopping list for some sort of internet-based supermarket shop.
Well, yeah, we've spoken to a couple of different ones here in the States, and our partners that are developing business relationships in Australia and in the UK right now are also looking for online shopping entities to create relationships with, to where they would give this device to the user, and as the user scans a can of food or whatever, it would tell them not only what it is, but it would ask them, do you want to add this to your shopping list? So next time you do your online shopping, it'll remind you that you don't have it.
Let's talk a bit about the way that a user interacts with the Freedom Box. So you've got this small device that's presumably capable of sitting in your pocket and walking around. Oh, how about the range, by the way? How far away from the Freedom Box can you use the portable device?
The current version works from 800 to 1,000 feet from the base unit.
What kind of frequency is that using? Are you able to tell me that?
We're using spread spectrum 900.
Okay. Yep. And you've got this device that you talk to by pushing a button, kind of like a walkie-talkie situation. Does that limit the amount of information that can be inputted in this way? In other words, are you going to have a set list of words that the Freedom Box understands, or is its vocabulary going to be unlimited once it understands the speaker?
No, that's a tricky question, and I'm going to have to give you a lesson in voice command and control and what's available in the market today. Services like Tell Me and things of that nature use a certain vocabulary. They're based on what's called VXML, which is voice XML. We also use the VXML protocol, but we use it in a very unique way, where we are updating that vocabulary as we add features, there's a portion of the Freedom Box that's an actual web browser that you can tell it a URL. For example, if we wanted to go to acbradio.org, we would tell it open website. And then you would say www.acbradio.org. And then it would go there. And then when you get there, if that's where you want to go, you say favorites, and then you say add to favorites. And it'll add it to the favorites. Now, the next time you want to go to acb.org, you just tell it favorites, and then acb.org. You can just say the word, because it's added it to its vocabulary. But it is a user-independent speech device. It does not depend on my wife can talk to it or I can talk to it. I'd be interested in seeing how it handles you talking to it.
Well, that's an important thing, and we have to come on to international issues shortly. But does the user need to train the system the first time they install the Freedom Box?
Occasionally, the system will ask the user to push the push-to-talk button and be quiet. And the reason it does that is because it's listening for background noise, so it can differentiate the garbage from the voice. Or it may ask the user if the user is male or female.
Okay.
So, you know, it takes a minimal amount of training, if any, but there is a training algorithm built into the Freedom Box.
So if I'm using a website that has a constantly changing range of products on it, let's say I'm using a supermarket website that may not have some sort of direct proprietary deal with Freedom Box, that could be a bit tricky with this sort of interface, right? Because it may not recognize quite complex words, product names, descriptions that it hasn't seen before.
Okay. This is where the disclaimer comes in. We work, like any adaptive technology, we work or make an attempt to work with a majority of websites out there. Now, that depends on, of course, the website, depends on how compliant they are with the WC3 standards. Depends on many, many things. Most of the time, if you can access it with a screen reader, you can access it with Freedom Box. But it will update, it will literally listen to look at the page, strip out all the graphics and all the junk that you're not interested in, read you the text on the page, and let you know what is a link. Then you can ask it for a list of links, or you can just say a link, and it will go to that link and effectively click on it and go to the next page. So in essence, the vocabulary of this thing is unlimited. As long as it's written on the page, then the vocabulary, and it's a link, which is what it's looking for, then it is pretty much unlimited.
You go to big websites like CNN and just about any of the big commercial sites these days, and you find this contents margin, the series of common links at the top of the page, and there may be 40 or 50 of those. Is there a way for FreedomBox to skip you past those?
Yes, it will look for navigation links on a page, and it'll look at the URL and see that it's on the same page, you know, on the same site type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it will look at the navigation links on top, and it will skip those. It will, and that's a user, that's an optional setting that the user can turn on and off. Is the ability to just skip, you know, the first whatever those links are, the first whatever, if they've got 50 links on top, and then the real pertinent links are, you know, the last 10.
I guess that I see some parallels between FreedomBox and AOL in some ways, because as well as giving access to the internet and the general web, FreedomBox is a proprietary community with a whole lot of menus, internal features. Can you tell us a bit about the FreedomBox community and what you're hoping to offer in there?
Well, actually, you're absolutely right. Our business model is, in fact, an AOL type of business model. I think a lot of internet companies have salivated over the possibility of having an AOL type business model, but have, you know, the whole thing behind AOL that's so darn ingenious about AOL is that it has found a niche. And even though they've got 23 million people in that niche, it is a niche just the same. The AOL user is the AOL user. It's very difficult to get the AOL user out of that community. AOL markets itself as an online community, not as an internet service provider. And I would venture to say that FreedomBox is the same. While we do give you access to the internet, our goal is to keep you within the confines of our community as much as we can by providing you with what's called in nowadays net terms sticky content. And that's content that makes you stick to our community, that makes you want to stay inside the community. And that is, we have hundreds and hundreds of newspapers, thousands of hours of audio on the community. We have text, lots of text that you can listen to. We have news groups. We have chat, online chat, so you can talk back and forth to your buddies all over the world that are on the FreedomBox. We're even working with game developers to develop online games, card games and whatnot. You have email, so you can send and receive email, all using your voice. How's that done? You receive a text email, and you can send back a voice email, a voice recorded email. And in a future version, if we find that people want it, we will, and we have looked into incorporating a dictation type of interface where you can actually dictate an email. But we really don't know if we certainly don't want to get into that right off the bat day one. I think that for the FreedomBox user, the initial FreedomBox user, just getting used to the overwhelming fact that they've got millions of websites that they can visit, more information they can possibly handle. I don't think it would be smart to give people have them deal with dictation software and everything else.
Right, so you've got some portal aspects here too, because it's packaging all of those websites and getting some of the best of the websites in an easily accessible way. So you're talking about newspaper content. I take it that one would break those down into two distinct categories. You've got the radio reading service type content, and then you've got newspapers that may be available electronically on the web that your voice synthesizer would read to you. Is that how it works?
Correct. Correct. And right now we're looking into a couple of different voice options. The demo that you can hear on the website is built around the IBM VIaVoice text-to-speech, which most eloquence, I guess, for JFW. However, we are looking into possibly using the RealSpeak, which is the LNH voice engine, which is a very, very nice sounding voice. It's just very, very heavy on the resources of the machine. So we're actually beginning to beta test that. The system is produced. The storyboard is done. We've got a working proof of concept. You know, we've got a working demo that you've seen on the website. There's so much more to come in the next couple of months that I invite everybody to keep listening to the website, the demo on the website. Keep checking it out. Keep your email. You know, sign up for the list on the site to get updates. We won't bombard you with a bunch of useless mail. The only mail you'll get from us is Freedom Box related. It's a very exciting time for us because the system is literally changing every day.
Why is it that you are limiting access to the Freedom Box to people with disabilities? And also, is it a specific type of disability, or are you pretty much spreading the net in terms of the disability community?
There's a couple of reasons for that. First and foremost is the reason, it's the FUBU theory, what I call the FUBU theory, the for us, by us theory. I don't want to segregate the disabled community. That's not my goal. But the fact of the matter is that we do need to address our own needs. And if who better to address them than our own community? And I believe that the Freedom Box is going to allow the community not only to people to meet one another and really get to hang out and get to know one another, but it will also allow, like I said before, product and service providers to realize that here's this huge community of disabled people just itching to do business online, and if they are able to convince or market to these people properly, then they will spend their money with this particular advertiser or that one. And the other thing, of course, is because of the copyright issues on the content. You know, the only way you could get on the Freedom Box network is if you are print impaired, if you cannot read for whatever reason due to a physical limitation of some kind.
All right, so it's the print disability market you're targeting. Now, of course, potentially this technology has uses in a much wider market than that. One of the criticisms of the internet at the moment, and you've got the wireless access protocol seeking to change this, and companies like Telme seeking to change this, is that people don't want to be stuck by their computer, or alternatively, they don't want to be without the internet when they're somewhere else. A Freedom Box in a car, Freedom Boxes on public transport, the possibilities are endless. Do you think you might be selling yourself a bit short by limiting the market in the way that you are?
Well, no, actually, we have developed, there's the offspring of creating this community has been a proprietary browser that we have created. Most of these organizations, the Telmes of the world and things like that, they're into what's called thin client technology, where the client is very thin, either a telephone or a PDA or whatever. We haven't done that. We have actually created an appliance that a majority of the processing is done on the local machine as opposed to being done at the server level. So it doesn't tax the heck out of the server. It doesn't tax the heck out of your bandwidth either. And that's important for guys who are for folks who are on metered internet connections. There's not a, you know, you download the page once, and then a lot of the stuff that you interact with is done on the local box in a browser. And that browser, is what we have created, and sure, it could be used in a car. As a matter of fact, we have spoken to some folks in the automobile industry that are interested in our technology for the simple fact that it was created with no screen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And since it is an application that has been addressed from the no screen perspective, it's very attractive to the traveling executive in his car. All these car computers that you see that, you know, they have a little screen somewhere along the line. And, you know, like if we don't have enough with people talking on their cell phones, now they're going to be looking at another screen and surfing the internet. Watch out.
Now let me put another scenario to you, because if I don't put it to you, somebody will. And that is that actually the Freedom Box could be counterproductive in terms of mainstream access concerns. It could be argued that if advertisers can reach blind people and other print disabled people through the Freedom Box, that they may be less inclined to get to work and make their mainstream websites accessible. How do you respond to that?
I think that depends on the individual company. I mean, we are certainly not saying to a website, listen, come and put your content on our web community and to heck with your WC3 compliance that you need to do because you're on our community. We are in no way accommodating or helping them fulfill their legal obligations to the internet community. I mean, these are laws. And like any law, those guidelines have a certain date that websites need to be compliant. But let's be for real. True compliance is one thing. You know, actual compliance is another. What they deem to be compliant and what really is compliant for you and I and what's navigable for you and I as blind users are two entirely different things.
Let's talk about revenue models. I guess that you're going to be charging advertisers to come on and have access to this community of untapped consumer power, as it were. And also understand there's a charge for the service, an ongoing charge to be part of the community. Can you talk us through those things?
Sure. There's a couple of reasons. Now, when you buy, let's talk first about pricing and system configuration. As I said before, the Freedom Box standalone unit comes in three parts. And that unit costs about $799. That's the price tag we're going after right now. And, Lord willing, and computer prices being where they are and everything else, we should be able to stick to that by our release in March. Now, the one thing that I can tell you for sure, whether the price is $799 or a little more or a little less, is that at time of sign-up, if you decide to sign up with the community for 3 years and pay $21.95, which includes your internet access, not just for the Freedom Box, for any other computers you may have at home, on a 56K dial-up, it'll be $21.95, and you will get a $400 discount right at the time of sign-up for your Freedom Box. So you would be picking up your Freedom Box, in essence, for $399. Okay, now the Freedom Box is Ethernet ready, so you can connect it to a cable, you know, to a cable modem or a DSL modem. And if we offer broadband in your area in that 3-year time period, you can go ahead and upgrade with no penalty. It's not like if you go and buy a computer at your local Walmart or Circuit City, and they lock you into this 3-year MSN of 56K dial-up, and everybody else has got the MSN with high speed, and you're still stuck on 56K. If we offer it in your area, you will certainly be able to enjoy the benefits of that particular service. For us, it's a benefit for the more you're on that Freedom Box, the better it is for the community, and the better it is for us. The more we want you there. Now, the other flavor that the box comes in is it does come as a computer add-on, and the only difference there is that there is no CPU-based unit that we spoke about earlier. It's simply the portable unit and the base transceiver unit, which is the charger for the portable unit that connects to an existing PC. And it can be, and that can be picked up for $149 from the site, and if you sign up for a year at $9.95 a month, we will give you a $50 discount at the time of purchase, which would bring the price of the unit down to $99. Again, we are probably, dangerously close to being similar to AOL in the fact that we charge a monthly charge for access to our community.
The $9.95 a month, then, that the user is offering, is paying, who already has a PC and buys the attachments, that doesn't include internet access, right?
No.
Okay. Do you already have a deal done with an ISP?
We are currently in talks with UUNET, and we should have everything in place. I mean, I don't foresee why it wouldn't be.
Okay, and they have a good reputation in terms of good throughput and things like that?
UUNET probably covers about 98% of the United States. We already have agreements in the UK, and we're working on agreements in Australia, and we'd like to work on an agreement in New Zealand. We're still looking for a provider in New Zealand.
International issues. A lot of this content is going to be quite US-specific, I would imagine, especially when you get onto shopping and things, and I suppose that's where your primary market is. It seems to me you're going to have quite a few content creation or content sifting, editing type people to make it internationally relevant and saleable and usable.
Well, it depends on the on where the person is logging in from, how their content is served up to them. Each box has its demographic information in it that is that the server knows, so they are the user is served a combination of local, state, and national types of and international, whenever the case, provides content for them. Now, a lot of these things that I'm telling you are not immediate. Right now, in the first phase, you're not going to be hearing a whole lot of advertisements on the Freedom Box. I mean, it's just, let's be for real. We need to aggregate users first. So at the beginning, for at least the first 6 to 8 months, maybe even a year, you're not going to hear a whole heck of a lot of advertising. You may hear some here and there, but our first year is mostly going to be comprised of getting people on the community and getting people to just kind of working the system out and making sure that everybody's happy with it. And if changes need to be made, make sure that we're there for our users and that we make whatever changes need to be made. All these systems, again, the Telmes of the world and stuff, they're constantly under development. And they're constantly getting better, I may add.
Yeah, there are some similarities to Telme, and we'll have a look at the demo of the Freedom Box in just a moment. But have you been influenced quite a bit by the Telme model, except that you're porting it over to a PC context and a kind of proprietary appliance?
I don't know if I've been so much influenced by the Telme model as, I mean, you've got Telme, you've got Hey Anita, you've got, you did a whole program on all these different ones a while ago. And, I think that Telme is probably the most popular and the most user-friendly one, but they're all basically the same. I mean, you talk to it, you tell it what you want, it asks you if what you want is this, and you say yes, and it gives it to you. I mean, it's a very simplistic interface. It's a very simple interface. So to me, Telme has been an influence. It has been nothing but when the Freedom Box was in its infant stages, real infant stages, where we couldn't show it to anybody, it was real easy to pick up the phone and dial 1-800-555-8355 and say, hey, listen to this. Now we're going to take this and we're going to put it in a box, and multiply it to the 15 millionth power and give people voice access to the internet with a browser and this and that, and people understand. So, Telme had a little bit to do with the influence and with the motivation. I mean, you know, Telme's done great. They just got another, $120 million, literally, in financing, I think, or something like that.
Yeah. So it begs the question, though, Mike. I mean, why put this in a box? Why not create a blindness-specific voice portal where blind people wouldn't have to buy any hardware and they could access it from any standard telephone over an 800 number?
Couple of reasons. First and foremost is, are you going to sit there with a phone against your ear for hours and hours and hours at a time while you listen to a book, while you listen to a newspaper, while you surf the internet, while you play a game, while you chat with your friends, while you do your email? I mean, to have this phone against your ear all this time is crazy. First of all. Second of all, it's a cost issue. Let's talk about just a penny a minute in toll costs. You're talking about 60 cents per hour per user. I mean, even at the top of the food chain here, when it comes to advertisement, a company is not making 60 cents an hour per user on advertising.
So it's just not financially sustainable.
No, and it makes no sense. I'm talking about even at a penny a minute, and I don't know, but maybe tell me by so many darn minutes a month that they get it for a penny a minute. Maybe they get it for half a penny a minute. You know, I don't know. But, at half a penny a minute, it becomes a little more conceivable. But again, we come back to the issue of the telephone. Are you going to spend hours and hours and hours holding onto your telephone, and you can't very well use a speakerphone with these types of services and this type of interface?
So where is the Freedom Box at the moment? You have a demo, you have a proof of concept. Are you at this stage certain that it is a going concern, that we are going to see them out there, or are you still at the point where you need to prove that there is sufficient interest to make the thing fly?
We're past the point of proving that the proof of concept stage. We're actually writing the browser, the email client, we're talking to the game, we're already starting on the agreements with the game people. We've just talked to the folks that are going to be providing the audio codecs for the box, the Real Networks and Windows Media and those folks. So we are moving ahead. We believe that there's interest. We put out a small email last week and got it just went out to a couple of groups. And we got almost 4,000 hits on the website in 2 days. So, I mean, in terms of interest in the product, and those are from, and that's just from internet savvy people, that's just from people who know about the internet, who would probably pick up our add-on unit. Wait till it starts trickling down. Wait till a few more of these types of interviews get out into the marketplace on the radio reading services and whatnot. And when we actually have our finished product that we can take it around to folk rehabs and older folks' homes and start doing and advocacy groups and things of that nature and start doing dog and pony shows for people. I really believe that the product, once you're introduced with it, once you touch it and you play with it, you're not going to be able to put it down if it's what you've been looking for.
I detected a bit of cynicism from some of the replies that came back, but I guess the kind of people who were expressing that cynicism are quite savvy internet users, and I guess by virtue of the need to harness the technology, the people listening to this interview are savvy internet users because they've got their Real Player or their Winamp installed and they know how to go to the web and listen to this program. Are they going to want a Freedom Box, do you think? Is it for them?
I believe so. I believe that the Freedom Box is going to offer certain things that they will not find in other websites. Yes, the Freedom Box can be very, very simplistic. Okay, I mean, it can be as simple as weather, and you tell it the city and state you want the weather for, and it tells you the weather. Wow, yippee. I can go to my local weather station and click with my JAWS cursor and get there with that, this and that, and that's fine. I agree with that. But when it comes time to making a purchase, we are going to have things that any digital person will welcome. I would venture to say any internet person, but in this particular case, a disabled person would welcome. We will have one consistent purchase interface for everything on the community, regardless whether you're buying a CD, a pair of socks, or a can of tomato soup. You know, that's a strong, strong point right there just in itself. You know, consistency. No frills, no little pop-up windows, no banner ads, no annoying things flashing across your screen. No, it's going to talk the way it's supposed to talk. It's going to act the way it's supposed to act. And just that alone, I believe, will make even the savvy internet user, stick to the community. I'm a savvy internet user and I use the demo of the Freedom Box now. I think it's a great unit. I think it makes getting to ACB radio even easier. I gotta go into Winamp, open up Winamp, do the menu thing, go to my bookmarks, find the bookmark for ACB radio in there, click on the bookmark and then go and listen to it. Freedom Box, I just turn it on and say ACB radio. That's it. I'm there. And there's a lot to be said for that. That's worth $99 to me as an internet user.
Now,
they'll do that from anywhere in that house?
Yes, fair enough. At the moment, the demo that you have on the website and that we will play shortly doesn't offer any kind of demonstration of the shopping interface, and I presume that as the product develops, you'll be updating this demo. When do you think you'll be able to show us what it's like to make a purchase with the Freedom Box?
I am hoping to be able to do that right around the beginning of the year. I do not want to demo. We could probably demo it a little earlier on, but I don't feel comfortable with demoing something that I don't know is going to work that way. If I tell you it's going to work this way, when the product comes out, I want it to work that way. I don't want, oh, wait, but that's not what he said in the review that was up on the website for months and months and months. Mm-hmm. You know, what we're looking for is we're looking to be able to, when we roll out a part of the Freedom Box, we want to be able to keep it that way. That's why in the demo that you're about to hear, I made sure that I stated at the end that right now you hear a lot of these prompts in a text-to-speech type of voice. And I assured everybody that that's not the way it's going to be. A lot of those prompts are going to be recorded in a very nice voice.
Very
human
good.
Voice.
Okay.
And the text-to-speech will only be used for, you know, for the types of stuff that it's dynamic stuff.
You're asking people to sign up. At the moment, there's an application form on the website, which I think you have to print out and fill in. Are you eventually going to allow online applications?
I don't know of a way to get a doctor's authorization on an online form. God knows I wish I could.
Yes.
I mean, understand that the application form is just as much of a pain for me as it is for the user. But it is something that I must do for the protection of the content providers on the website.
So is there no other way than this kind of terribly medicalized process of getting a doctor to certify that you have a print disability?
Not at this time. Not that I can think of. I would welcome input on that. I mean, any kind of input that anybody would have. I mean, I really would. Because I've looked around, I've talked to radio reading services. Everybody does it the same way.
And how long does the half price offer last for?
I think the half price offer is going to last a good long time. I would venture to say it's going to last for at least the first year.
And is it important for your market research or your investment courting, so to speak, that people do sign up now? Does it help you to be able to tell people, look, we've got so many people signed up before we even launch the product?
Yes, it does, as a matter of fact. I'm glad you brought that up, because right now we have put this together kind of on a wing and a prayer. And we are moving forward every day with different types of what they call angel financing and friends and family financing. And every time someone signs up for the Freedom Box, it is very encouraging to those who have invested or are going to invest in this company, because they see that there's an interest in the community. And this is a community, Jonathan, that has no demographic information available. I challenge anyone in the listening community, in the listening audience today, to try and find the purchasing habits of disabled people. Forget about blind people, just disabled people in general. Just any disabled group. Tell me what their purchasing habits are.
All right, yes, that's an interesting point. Yeah. Can I ask you, has the number of sign-ups exceeded, met, or not met your expectations at this point?
I'm not. My goal the other day in putting out the email was simply to provide information. I didn't walk in with a predetermined view of sign-ups. I haven't gotten any forms back from anybody, you know, in the fax or in the mail yet. But it's only been about 4 days or 5 days since we put the email out, but we have gotten a couple hundred phone calls and several thousand hits on the website. So I would say that there's interest out there in the community. And as we go into the community, we're certainly looking at ways of getting these applications to people a little easier than having to download them off the web and print them.
Before the product is launched, you've got a number of shows, I guess. Like, you've got CSUN in March. World Blind Union is on as this interview plays live. And I imagine there's a few others that I've missed between now and then. Will you be soon at the point where you'll be demoing units publicly at various shows?
We hope to be able to do a demo at the show in Orlando in January, in Orlando, Florida. And we certainly hope to be unveiling the entire project at CSUN in March. I mean, that's our plan. Hopefully it goes well.
And the product is scheduled for launch March or April, I understand, at this point. Well, I thank you for coming on the program, and let's before we get into the demo, give the website one more time for people who want to keep up to date and also subscribe to the email list where they will be informed of developments.
Sure. The email address, the URL is www.freedombox.cc. That's right, it's .cc. freedombox.cc. And you can go ahead and read all about it. You can hear the demo there. You can download the application or print it. Everything you need to know is there. There's phone numbers there for contact information. Feel free to call. They're toll free. There is also a link there for our email list, as you stated earlier. And as I said, we will not bombard you with information. We will simply give you information about what's going on in the Freedom Box, and that's it. It's a one-way list only. And we invite you to come and visit and check it out and tell everybody about it.
All right, well, let's take a listen to the demo.
Welcome to my Freedom Box, offering thousands of audio channels. What is your account number?
12145.
What is your home telephone number?
305-555-4444.
Welcome to the Freedom Box Radio Network.
Welcome home. Say one of music, classic movies, weather, news and talk radio stations, radio reading service audio, news headlines, news channels, police scanners, quit.
Music.
Welcome to the music channels. There are great music from everstream.com. What kind of music do you prefer?
Rock.
Do you want to hear the channel rock?
Yes.
Okay, now try and download music rock.
Stop playing.
Okay. Please say the music channel you want here.
Back to main menu.
Returning to the main menu. Welcome home. Say one of music, classic movies, weather, news and talk radio stations, radio
weather.
Reading service audio, news. Welcome to the weather information service. For what city would you like the weather?
Help.
Please say the name of the city for which you would like a weather report. You may choose one of next cities. Avalon, Albany, Albuquerque, Atlanta, Baltimore, Baton Rouge, Billings, Biloxi, Birmingham, Boise, Boston, Chicago, Charleston, Cleveland, Columbus, Columbia, Dallas, Dayton, Denver, Des Moines, Detroit, Hartford, Honolulu, Houston, Indianapolis, Jackson, Kansas City, Las Vegas, Lima, Little Rock, Los Angeles, Louisville, Memphis, Meridian, Miami, Milwaukee, Nashville, Norfolk, New York, Oklahoma City, Omaha, Philadelphia, Phoenix, Pittsburgh, Portland, Providence, Salt Lake City,
Las
San
Vegas,
Diego, San Francisco, Seattle.
Do you want to hear the weather for Las Vegas?
Yes.
Okay, now try and download weather for City Las Vegas.
I'm Ebony Cannon with your Las Vegas forecast from Weather Vision. A low pressure system developing right to our south and back out a little bit further west. We're seeing snow showers at the higher elevations, and it looks like
there's
a little bit of moisture in our area as well. On Thursday.
Okay. Please say the city in for which you want the weather.
Back to main menu.
Returning to the main menu. Welcome home. Say one of
radio
music,
reading service audio.
Classic movies. Weather. Welcome to the radio service. There are radio reading service audio. What radio service do you prefer?
National Enquirer.
Do you want to hear the radio service National Enquirer?
Yes.
Okay, now try and download radio service National Enquirer.
And a dagger-like wit made Regis's stress levels skyrocket. And Kathy Lee certainly didn't help his battle with high blood pressure. After two heart operations, high cholesterol, and other problems, stress is the last thing Regis needs.
Stop playing.
He chuckled with a sigh of relief. I'm recovering.
Okay, please say the radio service you want here.
Help.
Please say the name of the radio service you would like to hear. ACB Radio Mainstream, Chips and Fights, Disability Program Hour 1, Living Without Limits, National Enquirer, New York Times News, New York Times. First hour, New York Times. Second hour, New York Times. Third hour, news magazines. Radio and TV Guide. Sports News. Time Magazine. U.S. News and World Report. Wall Street Journal. Also, you may say back to return to the main menu. To exit immediately, say quit.
Chips and Bites.
Do you want to hear the radio service Chips and Bites?
Yes.
Okay, now try and download radio service Chips and Bytes.
InTouch presents Chips and Bytes, the newest and best in technology. Chips and Bytes, your guide to personal computing, the internet, and the world of cyberspace.
Stop playing.
Okay. Please say the radio service you want here.
ACB Radio Mainstream?
Do you want to hear the radio service ACB Radio Mainstream?
Yes.
Okay, now try and download radio service ACB Radio Mainstream.
The exact detail and makeup of that is not defined at this stage, but I'm sure we can pass that information on to you and you can let the listeners know on next week's program.
Indeed. Well, talking of the annual meeting, how are the plans going? You might just outline to our members, I know we've spoken about this before, but just outline to our members how this will happen because, of course, there's no convention this year.
That's right. This is the first year Blind Citizens Australia has held an annual general meeting without a convention. And it is being held, as I said earlier, on 19th of November from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Athenaeum Theatre in Collins Street, Melbourne.
Stop playing.
And the election of...
Okay. Please say the radio service you want here.
Wall Street Journal.
Do you want to hear the radio service Wall Street Journal?
Yes.
Okay, now try and download radio service Wall Street Journal.
Openings and closings, the futures and bonds, get news of the world and the street, right now with the Wall Street Journal.
Stop playing.
Okay, please say the radio service you want here.
Back to main menu.
Returning to the main menu. Welcome home. Say one of music, classic movies, weather, news and talk radio stations. Radio reading service audio. News headlines. News channels.
News headlines?
News scanners. Quit. Welcome to the news headlines. What news headlines do you prefer?
Help.
Please say the name of the news headline you would like to hear. ABC, Associated Press, BBS Headlines, Clock GMT and Eastern US, EARN, US, Internet Radio News, Ken Radio Tech News, NPR, GDTV. Also you may say back, to return to the main menu. To exit immediately say quit.
Back.
Returning to the main menu. Welcome home. Say one of. Music.
Police scanners.
Classic movies. Weather. Welcome to the police scanners. Which city do you prefer to hear police scanners?
Help.
Please say the city which you would like to hear the police scanners. It may be one of Chicago, Concord, Dallas, Los Angeles, New York City, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Seattle. Also you may say back to return to the main menu.
Back.
Returning to the main menu. Welcome home. Say one of music, classic movies, weather, news and talk radio stations, radio reading service audio. News headlines. News channels.
News channels.
Police scanners. Welcome to the news channels. What news channel do you prefer?
Help.
Please say the name of the news channel you would like to hear. At this time you may hear next news channels. Bloomberg Business Radio, Net Radio, CNN, CNN Headlines, CNN International, Fox News Channel, MSNBC, National Public Radio, World Radio Network USA, CD Radio. Also you may say back, to return to the main menu. To exit immediately say quit.
Back.
Returning to the main menu. Welcome home. Say one of. Music. Classic movies. Weather. News and talk radio stations.
News and talk
radio
stations.
Reading service. Welcome to the news headlines. There are news and talk radio stations. What radio station do you prefer?
Help.
Please say the name of the radio station you would like to hear. CFRB, CFTR, Shed, Shore, Digital One News, Call, CAOC, KCRG, KFRU, CO, KJJR, KNCO, KNRS, KNSI, KOA, KOMO, KOLX, KSAL, KTLK, KTRS, WAC, WAKI, WASN, Bloomberg Radio, WBLJ, WBTM, WGHT, WGSO, WGST, WIP, WJAB, WJBC, WJBO, WLW, WMVG, WNBS, WNYC, Word, Blog, WRN1 North America, WSTD, WSJS, WSJZ, WTAN, WTMY, WTOP, WVNZ, WWNZ. Also you may say back to return to the main menu.
Bloomberg Radio.
Do you want to hear the station Bloomberg Radio?
Yes.
Okay, now try and download News Radio Bloomberg Radio.
I'm Jack Austin. Here's your Bloomberg data check. S&P futures up 2 at 14.15. The NASDAQ futures down 6 at 30.55. And the FT 100 is only down 1 point at 64.76.
Stop playing.
Knicks lose, the Nets win.
Okay. Please say the radio station you want here.
Back.
Returning to the main menu. Welcome home. Say one of.
Music.
Music. Classic. Welcome to the music channels. There are great music from everstream.com.
Help.
Please speak the music channel you want here. At this time you may hear next music channels. 70s, 80s, 90s, acid jazz, adult hits, adult alternative,
adult
alternative,
hits.
Americana, blues. Do you want to hear the channel adult hits?
Yes.
Okay, now try and download music adult hits.
I could stay awake just to hear you breathing.
That's nice.
Watch you smile while you are sleeping. While you're far away.
Wake up.
Dreaming.
Okay. Please say the music channel you want here.
Quit.
You have elected to exit. Are you sure you want to do this?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, as you see, the system works well. Remember, this is not finished yet. A lot of these synthetic voice messages that you hear right now will be replaced with actual recorded ones.